Man, just, I can't wait. I just can't wait. One day, Jesus is going to come back for us. Woo! Good stuff. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, verses 9 through 20. Able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. As we begin reading in Judges chapter 15, begin reading verse 9. It says, "And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done to us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me, that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt from fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hochorah, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to focus on what you'd have me to say, Lord, and not what I would want to say. Help me to preach the things that I've studied, and may I preach the things that your Holy Spirit leads me to preach. And I pray for those who are here today who need to make decisions for you, whether it be for joining this church, getting their life right with you, or simply being saved. And I pray that all that would be done according to your word and your will. And ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon is The Times of the Judges, Samson and the 1,000 Men. Samson and the 1,000 Men. We last left Samson in isolation after killing many Philistine men for killing his wife and father-in-law. Today we will see where Samson allowed God to use him to help rid Israel of its overbearing enemy. If we can learn anything from the story today, here is the main thing I want to keep you have to keep in the back of your minds. All of God's people need to do what's right, even when everyone else around you will not. Before we get into the depths of the study, I have to share something a little funny with you. I can tell that I have been in Judges for a little while now because I'm dreaming about it too. I had this dream the other night. So silly. But it involved me, Mike Green, Paul Green, Michael Clark, Brad Saffo. Just get ready, y'all. You know what? Okay. So, we were having this get-together at somebody's house. And I don't know whose it was. I'd never seen the house before in the dream before. And we were talking about church, the series of the judges, okay? And then the next thing we know, next door, if I can best remember from the dream, there was a hostage situation going on. Mike Green takes control of the situation. And somehow we're all packing heat, okay? Every one of us. And like, I don't know how it happened, but Mike Green took control of the situation and said, all right, Mike Clark, you go behind the building and you take point. Paul, you go over here. Brad and Daniel, you're with me. Yes, sir. So we go to the front of this house, and, you know, there's these guys in SWAT gear who are like, you know, the guys who are the bad guys, you know. And Mike Green says, look, I got the preacher with me. And we're from El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church. I'm going to give you a chance to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. And you have until the count of three to do such. Paul says, amen. Me and Brad are kind of looking at each other like, one, two, three. You had your chance. He starts shooting, and Brad and I start shooting, and we take all the guys out, and Michael and comes in from the back, and, you know, we cleared them all out. I'm not done yet. And I'm going here saying, you know, this does not look good on the preacher for doing all this. I said, now, defend people, do what's right, understand. And I'm just sitting kind of shocked and going, man, we really just did all this? Man, you know, I'm over here trying to comfort the hostages that were in there. It was a woman and two children, and crazy stuff you dream, you know. About that time, the police finally get there. Don't know why we didn't win the police, but anyway, because that's why. And I looked up, Brother Mike. I said, "You okay?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what all them judges did. They did business." Telling you. So, a little lightheartedness, a little bit this morning. Now let's get to the seriousness of the word this morning. My first point this morning is the betrayal. The betrayal, verses 9 to 13. Remember when the Lord, we left off with Samson. Remember, he went home, tried to be with his wife. He hadn't seen her in a long time. His father wouldn't let him go in because he'd given her to somebody else to marry. He didn't take too kindly to that. And so Samson went out and took a bunch of foxes, 300 to be exact, and burned all the wheat crops. Philistines got mad, tried to figure out who was responsible. And they said, well, it was because of Samson, because of what his father-in-law and his wife did. So they went and killed his father-in-law and his wife. Well, then Samson got even more mad and killed a bunch of them. Then he went to a place where he would just be left alone. Well, as a result of Samson killing a bunch of Philistines, more Philistines started to search for him. That they weren't going to let Samson have the victory. We weren't going to do it. So as a result, they set up camp in Judah to search for Samson. Now, Judah is in southern Israel. Now, Philistia, that's where all the Philistines come from, Philistia would have been a neighboring area to them. In fact, it would have been the extreme west of them. By the way, if you all know where modern Philistia is, that's the Gaza Strip. That's the Gaza Strip. That's a hot zone in Israel, where they're constantly fighting the terrorists in their own country. And if you really want to know my opinion why, I'll just give you a little bit about it. It's because they didn't take care of business when God told them to. And now they're paying for it. And I won't go any more about my opinion. If you really want to know, I'll tell you more about it later. But anyway, so they're having to deal with the Philistines here, and they're spread out throughout Judah. They're on a hot pursuit to find one man, Samson. Now, when they would set up camp, they would plunder, and they would take whatever they wanted from the inhabitants of the land for their provisions while they were there. After all, they were just Hebrews in their mind. Lower than they, they're Philistines. They're the warriors of the land. They'll do whatever they want. So they were making the people suffer as they were going throughout there. And they focus their search in the area of what I sometimes say is Lehi, but I often pronounce Lehi. But the word literally means jaw. That's what it literally means, jaw. This was probably named this because of the story that we're studying right here, right now. Now, Etam, the rock where Samson was, if you remember last week's study, that meant the place of the wild beast, where no one typically went. But it was in the area of Lehi or Lehi, where the place where Samson was at the time. Then in verse 10, we see the men of Judah. They asked their enemies why they were oppressing them. They apparently were getting tired of the oppression. It was a lot worse than normal. You have them camped in your fields and beside your homes and in your homes and taking your food and taking your water and all your provisions. And so finally they're like, look, why are you doing this to us? They had finally had enough gumption to ask why. And the Philistines told them they were trying to capture Samson because of what he did to them. So in verses 11 to 13, the Judahites took matters in their own hands. We see in verse 11 where 3,000 men, not the Philistines, but Judahites, men of Judah, they got together to go and get Samson. I want y'all to think about this just for a minute. Samson must have been a pretty bad dude for 3,000 men to go after one guy. They had already heard how he killed all those Philistines with his bare hands. We saw where in the last story he did that. Tore them all to pieces. So I guess they weren't going to take any chances. That's a pretty big show of force. Pretty big show of force to get one guy. They told Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us?" In other words, don't you know that the Philistines are our rulers? Don't you know that, Samson? Samson should have said, "Duh." You know, of course I know. What person are in these parts doesn't know that? But here is the thing. It really should strike a nerve with anybody that reads these stories. They apparently wanted to remain in the status quo. They didn't want change to happen. And I'm going to tell you something about people, if you don't know this already, many people and most people in the world do not like change, no matter what it is. Even when change is good for them, they don't like it. The Judahites here were much like their ancestors who came out of Egypt. Everyone turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Now, this is after the Israelites have left Egypt and they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. Pharaoh is now in hot pursuit and they see him coming. In verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You see, just like their ancestors, even though it was bad living under those wicked people, living under the Egyptians, living under the Philistines, it was bad, but they didn't want to change because it was out of their comfort zone. And so the Israelites get ready to cross the Red Sea, says, look what you've done to us, Moses. It'd have been better off had we been slaves in Egypt. You know what that was? That was a slap in God's face. God himself had brought them to that point, out of slavery, out of the misery and the muck and the mire of Egypt, and was going to a better place. And guess what? When you grow in the Lord, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. For those of you who are grown, do you remember having what we call growing pains growing up? That is a literal thing. Sometimes people, and I remember it, when you're going to that stage of life, when you're going, your body hurts a little bit because it's growing. Well, guess what? Getting closer to the Lord is going to require a little growth, and it's going to require a little hurt sometimes too. It gets you out of your comfort zone. When God's people get comfortable where they are in the Lord, we've got a problem. There's always room for growth. Always, always, always room for growth. The Judites, the Hebrew people here, are telling Samson, look, don't you realize they rule over us? They don't have to rule over you. You could have something better, but you don't want it for some reason. Why? Because you're uncomfortable. One would think they would be happy to get rid of their enemies. But since they were currently being oppressed, they figured getting rid of Samson was the lesser of the two evils. There's an old saying that goes something like this. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. I can give you so many scenarios of that, but I'm not going to. I'm pretty sure all you understand that this morning. Here, it was wrong for the Philistines to oppress them. God was trying to help them get out of that. And yes, it was bad. It was really bad that their oppression had gotten worse because of Samson. But y'all, the answer wasn't giving Samson over to them for a death sentence. That was murder. But all they could think about was getting rid of the current monkey on their back. The 3,000 Judites want to know what Samson did. Now, this is Samson's own countrymen, by the way. His fellow countrymen. Samson pretty much replied by saying, they're mad because I got even with them. Now, we talked about that when that happened. By the law, there's an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. Remember what Jesus said? He surpassed that and said, if anyone smite thee on your cheek, turn the other cheek to them. Because remember, I told you, if everyone packs an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, there would be a lot of blind and toothless people in the world. Okay? He's like, they're mad at me and want to get even with me because of what I did to them. Now, they are stopping at nothing to try to reach him. All they can think about is, find Samson, get Samson, kill Samson, find Samson, get Samson, hurt Samson, and kill him. That's all they had in their mind. Well, Samson's own countrymen told him that they were going to bind him and deliver him to the enemy. They were going to betray their own countrymen. All they wanted to do was to satisfy their enemy's desire and get the heat off of their backs. Samson made sure they wouldn't harm or kill him. Now, I want you all to understand this about Samson. Now, Samson could have easily said, just you try. Just you try. But listen, Samson didn't ask them to do this because of his fear or pain of death. He didn't ask them to do that. Samson did this because he did not himself want to harm or kill his fellow countrymen. He could have. He really could have. But he said, promise me one thing, you won't kill me or harm me. Because at that point, Samson in his mind would have been like, you harm me or try to kill me, I'll hurt you. They agreed, and they bound him tight with new ropes. The new ropes were made to be almost unbreakable. Those green cords they used to make the ropes, that's hard to break. So, pretty much, they were trying to bring Samson to his death. Even though they wouldn't be the ones who would kill him, but they knew that the Philistines were going to kill Samson. My next point this morning is the slaughter. Verses 14 through 17. In verse 14, Samson was brought to the enemy camp in Lehi. Upon arrival, the army all yelled at him with a warrior-like cry or yell. Can you just imagine Samson being bound in his hands, brought by these 3,000 men to the camp of the Philistines, and all these bad guys are like, oh yeah, we got Samson. And they start cheering really loudly because they've got him. And they're going to do whatever they want to with him. They probably thought that they had whom they were looking and he would be utterly punished by them. However, God got involved. There's a scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, here's a great example of it here, y'all. God's Spirit empowered Samson once again, and those new ropes came off of him like they were brittle, burnt threads. Now, I don't know if y'all were as guilty as I was as a little boy, but I liked to play in the fire when I was a kid. Probably why I didn't get around fire that much. But anyway, you ever put any pine straw on the fire? What does it do? It just shrivels up real quick. Well, that's pretty much how these ropes were on Samson's hands. They were like that brittle pine straw that just shrivels up real quick when it's burnt. That's how the Bible describes that thing, like fabric does too. Even though they were still new, that's what it would be like with his strength. It was nothing. I'm sure that would have been a shocking sight to see with all those around him. In verse 15, he quickly found a jawbone from a recently deceased donkey and used it as a weapon. Being since it was new, meant it wouldn't be as brittle as a bone that had been rotting for a while. Samson was able to use this great weapon, and he killed 1,000 men with it. Now, this was actually a good weapon. Brother Nathan, please show that picture. This is what a jawbone of a donkey looks like. One side of it, anyway. Pretty big. And I could see where that would be a formidable weapon. But a lot of people would still be skeptical, like, they had swords. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Okay? Samson didn't have a sword. But he had this, but more importantly, he had God. Now, I could see where some really tough guys could probably take up the jawbone of this animal and do some damage, but not kill 1,000 men and live to tell about it. The only reason Samson was able to do this, y'all, was because of God. Well, it says the Spirit came mightily upon him. That was God using Samson to get rid of the enemy. God was able to use this unlikely man and very unlikely weapon to prove that God was in control and he can do anything. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17 declares unto us, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You know what that means? God can do anything. God can use just some old boy named Samson. Just a good old boy named Samson who had a little rough life. But guess what? God used him, that one man, just one. And that jawbone of that insignificant animal, that's not really a really good weapon compared to swords, where he killed 1,000 men and lived to tell the tale. God did that. Verse 17, Samson declares what he did and called the name of the place Ramoth Lehi. Ramoth Lehi means the Jawbone Heights, or the Hill of the Jawbone. This was probably a higher place there in the place of Lehi. My last point this morning, the deliverance, verses 18 through 20. Verse 18, well, after killing 1,000 men, Samson was pretty thirsty. I think I'd have been more than thirsty. I think I'd have been ready to die. And he pretty much was. He was exhausted, but he needed water the most. You think about it. You, especially in the heat of the summer, you work outside and you really put in your physical strength into something, you get hot quickly, and you begin to sweat a lot. And what does your body crave immediately? Water. Well, we understand kind of what Samson was going through, but Samson reached a point where he knew he was fixing to die if he didn't get any water. So he cries out to God. He first of all thanks God for the great deliverance that has happened because of God. But he also asks God to help him with his thirst because he knew he was fixing to die. In verse 19, God heard Samson's prayer and opened a hollow spot in the donkey jaw, and water came out of it. Now, y'all, I want you to understand something. Only God could do something like this. Samson was able to drink till his body was revived, and then Samson called the name of that particular place in Hakorah. Now remember verse 17, the jawbone was on the ground. God made a spring come out of that jawbone that day. The name Samson called it means spring of the one calling, which is symbolic of God answering Samson's call. Now, I don't know much about bones and so on and so forth. I know that there's a little water in them, but not enough to quench a man's thirst. This came pouring out like a spring, and it revived Samson because God provided for him. And he wasn't done with Samson yet. In conclusion this morning, y'all, I want you to understand something. Samson made some bad choices in life, but it didn't mean that God still couldn't use him. Please understand that. It is amazing how God can still use us in spite of our faults. There is a common excuse that Satan influences people to believe. Well, God can't use me because of whatever reason. No, that's not right. God can still use us in spite of our imperfections and faults. A great example of that is Moses. When God spoke to him through the burning bush, he said, go down and get my people. One of the biggest things that Moses said was, I can't talk real well, Lord. He says, get your brother Aaron. He'll talk for you. Now go get my people. See, God doesn't take our excuses. God helps us to accomplish His will and His purpose. Even though Samson made some bad choices, God was still able to use him. I want you to understand something. No matter what you've done this morning, God can still use you. Because I know He can use me even in spite of my faults. Now, God, if you doesn't want us to sin, and if you have a particular pattern of sin this morning, God would have you to correct that. But God still wants you and still can use you. Let us be reminded of some things from God's Word. First, Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Y'all, as a child of God, life is going to be a little more cruel to you than most people. But if you suffer because you are a child of God, he says, be happy. Why? Why would you be happy? Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be troubled by him. You know why? Because God's getting the glory. And we know, if we're a child of God, we know where we're going. But then something else too. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You may have a particular sin problem this morning, and you know it's wrong. But yet you do it anyway, well guess what? That's sin. And don't say, well, God's not going to use me because of that. Well, why don't you stop doing that? Well, it's easier said than done, Brother Daniel. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is easier said than done. Is it possible for a drug addict to stop drugs overnight? Possible. Statistically proven? No. But this I know, with God all things are possible. You may not be able to stop those cravings and that addiction pattern overnight, but I know that if you allow God to help you, you can. See, there is no excuse for sin. None of it. No matter what the sin is, there's no excuse for it. But y'all, let's say you're past a certain point. Let's say you're past doing a particular sin pattern, that iniquity. You say, well, God can't use me because of what I've done in the past, even though he's forgiven me. Y'all, that's the best way that God can use people. You know, it takes people from all walks of life doing God's work. From some of the, I'll be honest, some of the, I know this sounds so odd, but some of the greatest preachers we have in our work used to be the worst of sinners. But you know why? Because they know what it was like to live in that sin and how greater it is to live in Christ. Paul was probably the best example. My goodness, he killed Christians because he thought it was the right thing to do and took pleasure in it. But when Jesus got involved and he got his life right with Jesus, he left that all behind. And God used him as one of the greatest preachers in history. See, God can use you this morning if you let him. That's the biggest thing. If you let God use you, you can be used. But if you don't want to be used by God this morning, God will respect your wishes. But I'm here to tell you, you're missing out on so much by not doing such. I was talking to this a little bit about the teens this morning. We've been studying the book of Genesis. We studied Joseph and Potiphar's wife this morning. That was a mean old woman, y'all. The teens can tell you what I called her a few times. It wasn't nothing ugly. But she was a mean woman. All she wanted to do was sleep with him, and he's like, no, no, no. And y'all, most men would have caved into that. But Joseph didn't. He didn't for two reasons. He said, I'm not going to do that because my master, your husband, wouldn't trust you anymore. But I don't want to do this wicked thing because it's sin against God. Y'all, do right no matter what. And no matter who's watching. Because God is watching you and me all the time. Do right. No matter what. No matter what. And by the way, I think my daddy said something to this effect. Doing right is not always the easiest thing to do, but it's still the right thing to do. Because God would have us to do that. So if you're hearing this morning, you've been struggling what to do with God, but you know the right thing to do it, just do it this morning. Trust God, live for Him, and live victoriously. We have so much to be thankful for. We do. Live victoriously this morning and get your life right with God. Let us pray.